helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. You've probably heard the saying, lies, darn lies, and statistics. At least that's how I say it. It's meant to convey the idea that statistics can be used to manipulate you just as easily as any lie, and in many cases, more so. There's another saying most of us are familiar with as well. How can you tell when a politician is lying? Their lips are moving. The thing about lies is they survive best when they are not countered with facts and evidence. While the saying, a lie told often enough becomes the truth, is often attributed to Vladimir Lenin, someone showed me an 1869 quote from the book The Crown of a Life by Isa Blagden. If a lie is only printed often enough, it becomes a quasi-truth. And if a truth is repeated often enough, it becomes an article of belief, a dogma, and men will die for it. So tell me, what lies being spread today are already considered quasi-truth, if not dogma? What articles of belief do you have that may be based on lies? Will liberty and justice in America die for a lie? Will the American people recognize the lie before it's too late? Or will the motto of our political class continue to be lies, darn lies, and politics? Well, hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. And let's face it, how can you be free if your freedom is based on a lie? Then again, how can you tell the lie if you have nothing to base it on? And how can you tell which is which if you don't base it on something that's factual and true? And that's so much of what I'm trying to do now here at the Constitution Study. It is not simply repeat information, but to help you gain the tools to evaluate a statement and determine, is it the truth? Is it a lie? Is it based on facts and evidence? And use that to help generate, to help protect us, to retain our freedom. Let's take a look at an example. There was a recent hearing in which Matt Taibbi and Michael Schellenberger are two of the journalists who received the Twitter files and have written about them. They were brought before the House Judiciary Committee last week. And, well, let's just say that one person had an interesting take. Notice I didn't refer to that person as a representative. I said a person. Because the person in charge I'm talking about is Delegate Stacey Plaskett. Now, she's a delegate, not a representative, because, well, she represents the U.S. Virgin Islands. And since the Virgin Islands are not a state, she has no voting power within the House. But she shows up and she's on this committee. And I want to take a look at some of what she said. And again, we're talking about lies, darn lies, and politics today. See, she referred to Taibbi and Schellenberger as threats because of their release of the Twitter files. Now, Ms. Plaskett starts by, well, denigrating the men who have taken this information and brought it to the public, who have taken information that they were given by it, the owner of the information, and made it public. This is how she refers to them.
This isn't just a matter of what data was given to these so-called journalists before us now. There are many legitimate questions about where Musk got the financing to buy Twitter.
So she refers to them as so-called journalists. I find that very interesting. Because Merriam-Webster defines a journalist as someone who participated in journalism, which is defined as the collection and editing of news for presentation through the media. Now, isn't that kind of what they did? They collected information, they edited it, they thought it was news, and they presented it through the media. She refers to them as so-called journalists. I can only assume, because she's not happy with what they have provided, that she wants to label them as so-called journalists, to denigrate anything they say, but labeling them as, you're not real journalists, you're only so-called journalists. And then she says, well, there are plenty of legitimate questions about where Musk got the financing to buy Twitter. I don't know. I haven't seen any legitimate questions posed so far. Not saying they aren't out there. It's possible. But does the fact that Musk bought Twitter mean that the data that was collected, the information that was sent, the emails that were shared prior to his purchasing Twitter have no news value? Or is it simply the fact that Elon Musk took this information, which, by the way, seems to be pretty damning to the federal government, to many entities within the federal government? Is it the fact that he brought it to light, that they didn't hide this malfeasance, alleged malfeasance, from the American people? Now, then she goes on and she played a video of testimony by Yoel Roth. He was the head of security, I believe, at Twitter, about some of the things that have happened since this information was made public.
Wave of homophobic and anti-Semitic threats and harassment against me, of which Twitter has removed vanishingly little. And following the Daily Mail's decision to publish where I live, ultimately I had to leave my home and sell it. Those are the consequences for this type of online harassment and speech.
Now, I think what happened to Mr. Roth was wrong. It was terrible. The online harassment, his own doxing, the exposing of his address, that is bad behavior. Is that Elon Musk's fault? Is that the journalist's fault? Because in his mind, it is, because they exposed his corporate communication. These journalists did not expose his address. They did not expose his family. They did not expose him. They exposed his corporate communication, which appears to be evil. It shows censorship. It shows collusion with the agencies and the federal government to violate the rights protected by the Constitution of thousands, if not millions, of Americans. But for that, now, again, the people who call him names, I'm not for name calling. If all you can do is call people names, well, that kind of shows that you have no argument. The fact that he was doxxed by the Daily Mail, again, not these journalists' fault, but if you participate in something and it gets exposed, it's not the fault of the person. If you do something wrong, if you appear to be doing acts of malfeasance, and it gets exposed, it's not the fault of your bad actions. Are not the fault of the person who exposed it. They're your bad actions. But here's what's interesting. Representative Plaskett, right after that video, had this to say.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not exaggerating when I say that you have called before you two witnesses who pose a direct threat to people who oppose them.
To a certain extent, what she said is correct. There's a political threat to the people who expose them. It's showing, again, if you conduct a criminal activity, or at least a malfeasant activity, and it gets exposed, well, guess what? The person exposed you is a threat, not physical threat, not life threat, but a threat to your bad actions. But she went on.
It's funny when people have to go through that. Exactly. This is unacceptable. I'm ready for it. I don't know if a lot of other people are.
Now, I agree that the name calling, the doxing, was unacceptable. It was not the fault of the people who exposed the malfeasance, who exposed the lie, who I believe even exposed the lies made to Congress. So like any good lie, there's a kernel of truth in it. I don't have audio of, but previously she had pointed out that both Taibbi and Schellenberger had cherry-picked content, emails, and screenshots designed to promote their chosen narrative. Well, that's very interesting, because did not Delegate Plaskett cherry-pick content to support her chosen narrative? To blame the journalists, the ones exposing apparent malfeasance, and blame them for the acts of others? Now, the truth is, yes, they cherry-picked. Well, fine, Ms. Plaskett, if you say that their content is not representative of what was going on, where is your evidence to the contrary? See, Taibbi and Schellenberger brought evidence. They brought proof. They have documentation. She simply sits there and says, they're evil. They're a threat. They're only a threat to those who believe in censorship. They're only a threat to those who believe in hiding information so that the American people don't know what's going on. They're really the threat to the tyrants. And let's take a look at this from the other side. Were Woodward and Bernstein threats? Well, they certainly were a threat to Nixon and his administration. They were a threat to, say, the Republican Party, which kind of shows the lies to Ms. Plaskett's argument. See, these aren't a threat. These men weren't a threat to the truth. Unless and until you can find out that they've manufactured this data, which doesn't appear to be the case. Unless you can show data in there that contradicts the evidence that they provide. They're not a danger to the truth. The fact of the matter is they are a danger to an out-of-control federal government, to the bureaucratic state that runs it, and to the Democratic Party that appears to like this type of censorship. Now, Mr. Taibbi was asked to testify before the Weaponization Committee, the subcommittee on the weaponization of the federal government, and he pointed out that what we are seeing, what we found in these files, was pressure that the intelligence organizations and government-funded nonprofits and other research labs and whatever were placing on Twitter to censor certain information, to not only not allow that information to be brought into public, but not allow you, if you follow stuff on Twitter, to see it. It's not simply a private organization saying, we don't think this is good content. This is evidence of them colluding with the government to bypass the Constitution and deny to you the rights protected by that Constitution, which, by the way, is a federal crime. So if Woodward and Bernstein discovered a federal crime in the actions of the Nixon administration and they are lauded, why are gentlemen that are exposing what appears to be conspiracy to commit federal crimes denigrated? Because it's partisanship. The lie is this has anything to do her testimony, what she brought up as evidence, has anything to do with threats to America, with threats to the Republic. All it is threats to the Democratic Party. Now, in response to the Twitter files and the other information released, not surprisingly, the Republican Party and its members, well, they've proposed their own legislation. This legislation, I believe, just passed last week. In the House and goes to the Senate, where it most likely will die. But who knows? I mean, it makes sense. It's called the Protecting Speech from Government Interference Act. And it says, in general, an employee of the federal government, they're talking about, may not use the employee's official authority or influence to advocate that any third party, including a private entity, make any action to censor any speech, knowingly censor or discourage the exercise of speech of any person, or engage in censorship. Now, here's the interesting thing. So the story is, this will protect the people from the bad things that happened at Twitter and Facebook and all this big tech censorship where the federal government coerced it. This law isn't going to change anything. See, it's already a federal crime to do what is accused, what many of the people in the Twitter files are accused of. It's already illegal for a federal employee to use their authority to influence or advocate for censorship, to knowingly censor or discourage the exercise of free speech, to engage in censorship. Now, does this law, does that mean this law is bad? No, it's not bad. This law doesn't change anything, unless and until it is actually enforced. See, this bill, if it should become law, has a penalty section that says an employee who violates this section shall be subject to any of the penalties described in section 7326 of the law. What does it matter if nobody actually performs the enforcement? We have evidence that an FBI official coerced or encouraged the censorship of information. I haven't heard about him being investigated, indicted, tried, or even being put on restricted duty. Laws don't change things. Penalties, enforced penalties, change things. How do you enforce this law? How do we enforce the existing laws? See, since these people that are the accusations made have denied people rights protected by the Constitution, that's already a federal crime, punishable by a fine and up to a year in jail. Haven't heard anything about that, have you? Haven't heard anything about impeaching these people to not only remove them from office, but prevent them from ever holding an office in the federal government again. The laws don't change things. Punishments do. Now, I have some more examples I want to take a look at, but I have to take a break first. Before I go though, you know, I recommend you take a look at Healthy Cell. They are a leading innovator in supplements designed to work at the cellular level so you live a better life. One of the ones I love and use regularly is called Focus and Recall. It's designed to boost your short-term focus and your long-term brain power using nothing but vitamins. See, rather than reaching for the energy drink or the coffee, you know, with all the caffeine and the sugar, try this. It's nothing but vitamins. I use it all the time because it gives me that focus I need without giving me the crash afterwards. Now, as an America Out Loud listener, you can get 25% off your first order if you use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So please, I recommend you go to HealthyCell.com, put your cart together. It includes Focus and Recall or any product from Healthy Cell, but use that code OUTLOUD at checkout. It lets them know that you listen to America Out Loud. And as a thank you, you get 25% off your first order.
Do you know there's no other condition that I'm aware of where vitamins and supplements make such a big difference than COVID-19? We have an abundance of data that we need to be replete with a variety of micronutrients, and that includes vitamins, minerals, and other substances our bodies need. I rely on Healthy Cell Super Boost. That's Immune Super Boost. It's a gel pack that can be taken every day. I like to do it before I exercise and before I go out. It's a wonderful supplement. It gives me the immune super boost that I need. Go to HealthyCell.com, use the promotional code OUTLOUD, and get a discount on your first order. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
These days, every time you turn on the news, it seems like there's a new threat to your health. Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top and shoot it down, or mix it in water. Boost your immunity. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
Hello, I'm Ben Marble, MD, and I founded MyFreeDoctor.com as a donation-supported, faith-based nonprofit with a mission to save lives by delivering free doctor visits to patients in all 50 states of America. MyFreeDoctor.com treats a broad range of health concerns like COVID-19, long COVID, sinus infections, urinary tract infections, rashes, medication refills, and more. So please visit MyFreeDoctor.com, where we're healing America one person at a time.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution study. Today, we're talking about lies, darn lies, and politics. I kind of started off by explaining what I meant by that, but we then talked about the congressional committee hearings with Mr. Taibbi and Schellenberger and the threats that actually exposing information appears to be to many in the political spheres. But there are many more lies that we need to look at. See, we've been told for over 2 years now that January 6, 2021, there was an insurrection against the government. Right? That's a lie. There was a demonstration against the election. That isn't an insurrection. We were told that it was a violent riot. Well, yeah, there was some violence, absolutely. And we were told that the media was plastered with these images of this face-painted buffalo horn-hatted man claiming that he was a leader of part of the insurrection. Well, you see, as I say, the thing about lies is they only survive until facts and evidence come out. So now what we have is the video from the Capitol, government-collected video of what happened on January 6th. There were over 40,000 hours, I think, of this stuff. There's 4,000. There's thousands of hours of this stuff. And in this, what do we find? Well, guess what? Yes, the Jacob Chansley, who's been labeled the QAnon shaman, well, again, somebody labeled him. I don't think he labeled himself that, but doesn't matter. There is evidence. Yes, he was in the Capitol. Oh, by the way, yeah, there's evidence of him being peacefully escorted around the Capitol by Capitol Police without incident. In fact, they even show officers opening doors for him. Why is this important? Well, if he is supposed to be the leader of the insurrection, but there's no evidence of violence, of him committing acts of violence, if he's being escorted around peacefully by police, not in custody, mind you, but simply being shown around, if he's having doors open and being escorted into parts of the Capitol, isn't it reasonable to believe, oh, well, if the police say it's okay for me to be here, it must be okay for me to be here? It puts the lie to at least this part of the story that says this man was a leader of an insurrection. No, he wasn't. He was a demonstrator. Granted, he's dressed funny. He put on face paint. You know, it got him a lot of attention. Doesn't make him an insurrectionist. But you see, there's more to this lie. Because the government, when the government charged Mr. Chansley with violent entry and disorderly conduct on Capitol grounds, with entering restricted building without lawful authority, for which, by the way, he was convicted and sentenced to nearly 4 years in federal prison. But guess what? There's evidence now. There's no evidence of violent entry or of disorderly conduct. In fact, this is what's referred to as exculpatory evidence. It proves that, well, if not violent entry, it proves that at least he was escorted around the grounds. It proves that these restricted buildings, the building that he was supposedly not allowed in, he was given lawful authority by the police. Capitol Police opened the doors. Any reasonable person would believe that is an invitation to entry, which means it was not unlawful for him to be there. He had lawful authority. Now, the lie, which still, by the way, is being promulgated in some media sources, that this man was a violent extremist, possibly an insurrectionist, is undone by the truth. Now, this truth came from the U.S. Capitol. It came from the security video at the U.S. Capitol. It was delivered via the Speaker of the House. Happens to be a Republican, Mr. McCarthy, and he delivered it to a journalist. Now, a lot of people are complaining that, well, we don't like the journalist you gave it to because he works for Fox News. I actually kind of agree with him there that if we want this to be widely accepted, it should be available to others. Maybe that'll change in the near future. But it shows the lie for what it is. Political hit job. See, recognize that the majority of the people that demonstrated on January 6th were upset with the evidence and allegations of fraud in many of the states, with the evidence of fraud and malfeasance by the states in the way they chose their presidential electors, violating the Constitution's requirement that it be done in a manner determined by the legislature, not the courts, not the executive. In other words, they were demonstrating for the Constitution and against what they saw as violations of the Constitution. And to many in politics, especially on the Democratic side, the progressive side of the aisle, well, they consider that an insurrection. By the way, what does it say that the many in the media believe that's an insurrection as well? Kind of tells you a lot about the lies coming out of the media. Because remember, the media promoted this as well. Again, without evidence, they simply took with minimal evidence, certainly not a well-founded evidence, more hearsay evidence. They judged this man, Mr. Chelmsley, in the court of public opinion. The federal government charged him, prosecuted him, convicted him, and did so in violation of the law and of the Constitution. See, the Sixth Amendment to the Constitution says that in all criminal prosecutions, among other things, the accused is to be informed of the nature and cause of accusation against him, to be confronted with witnesses against him, and have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor. See, he had a right to have witnesses in his favor. That includes, by the way, exculpatory evidence. Granted, they didn't have video in the 18th century, but you know what? We've got video now. The prosecution had a duty to provide to the defense this video evidence. And you know what? They didn't. See, the former attorney for Mr. Chansley, Albert Watkins, said he never saw the video. The video of Chansley simply walking next to U.S. Capitol Police without any incident. At one point, he never saw the video of the officers opening the doors for him. This is a breach of due process, which means the prosecutor has denied Mr. Chansley a right protected by the Constitution, the right to not be deprived of liberty without due process. They did not provide the information required to the defense. Now, to me, that calls for an immediate mistrial for Mr. Chansley and his immediate release, possibly under bail. It also is grounds for impeachment and criminal charges against the prosecutor. See, he's denied Mr. Chansley a right protected by the Constitution, which is punishable by a fine and up to a year in jail. Well, by the way, Mr. Chansley has a civil suit. He has a civil action against the prosecutor, against the federal government, because they've denied him a right protected by the Constitution. I'd love to see something like that happen. Where is the call for that? Where is the move to say, wait a second, this man was illegally incarcerated. The jury, think of it this way, the jury was denied critical evidence. Now, if you're not a partisan, you should look at that as, wait a second, they've done harm to me. I made a decision based on incomplete evidence. I put my name, my reputation on the line to stand in judgment of another man, and you denied me the right to give him due process. A jury convicted a man upon a lie. And it wasn't a lie simply for convenience. It was a lie for politics. It was a political move. How do I know it was a political move? Because when Antifa and BLM had a violent demonstration at the Capitol, when they threatened to enter the White House grounds, people weren't tracked down. SWAT teams from the FBI were not sent out to find these people, take them into custody across the nation. They weren't charged and tried without being allowed access to exculpatory evidence. Politics has become the worst form of lie. You know, it's interesting. Yesterday, I was invited to a meeting of my county GOP. I'm not a member of the county GOP. I was there because they had asked me to write up a document, something the chairman had asked me to write them a document that he wants people to sign on to, and I was there to answer questions about it. But what's interesting is I'm quietly sitting there while they're doing their other business, they were talking about things like turnout, like how do we get people involved? And afterwards, after the meeting, because again, I was a guest, not my place to butt in, I was talking to one of the members, one of the committee men, and I said, you want more people to show up and vote? You want more people to vote for you? Stop being politicians. Be real people. Don't show up as, I'm the Republican, vote for me. Show people your character. Show people your integrity. Maybe that's missing in politics. Granted, I'm dealing here at the county level, not the national level. But since politicians and politics have this aura of simply being lies. Politicians lie. We all know they lie, and we hire them anyway. What does that say about us? Politics is all about lies. This side lies, that side lies, and somehow we're supposed to figure out what to do based on that. Maybe if politicians didn't lie so often, maybe if the political party was not the center of your universe, the end-all be-all of your agenda, maybe politics wouldn't be so associated with lies. But it seems there's one question that most Americans don't seem to be asking themselves. If we know our politicians are lying to us, if we know that politics as a whole is a great big lie, if we know that not only are politicians lying to us, the ones that lie the best, we're going to keep around the longest. The question we should be asking is not what that says about politics or what it says about politicians, but what it says about us. You see, the United States is still a republic, meaning the people choose representatives. We elect representatives. We hire them to represent us in our name, using our power in our name. So when they act this way, as liars, cheats, and thieves, they're representing us. What does that say about us? Each of our states is a republic where we, the people, elect people to represent us, to exercise our power in our name. And if they're liars, cheats, and thieves, what does that say about us? And we all live in cities or counties, and those cities and counties have their own politicians, and if they're a bunch of liars, cheats, and thieves, if their politics are all lies, yet we continue to hire them, what does that say about us? See, we all like to point, it's always somebody else's fault. It's the politician's fault. It's Twitter's fault. It's this fault. It's the media's fault. More often than not, though, it really comes down to it's our fault. It's our fault for hiring liars. It's our fault for rewarding them for their lies. It's our fault for letting them turn the exercise of the people's power into a game of lies, mischief, misdirection, because we keep hiring them. Now, believe it or not, once we recognize that, this is good news. I know it sounds awful. It's partially my fault. Oh, that makes you feel bad. No, it should make you feel good. Do you know why? Because if it's partially your fault, you can be part of the solution. We do that by demanding that our employees, yes, those people we hire directly via election, our employees are responsible to us. See, we've allowed the lie to survive long enough, to be printed and repeated often enough that it became a quasi-truth. But that actually happened quite a while ago. See, that quasi-truth, that lie that we think is the truth, has been repeated so often that most Americans believe the lie. And many of them do so in the face of evidence to the contrary, to facts, proof, documentation to the contrary. They still believe the lie. It's become dogma. And they will die for it. I publish an article where I point out that no, America is not under corporate law. We never incorporated the United States as a private entity. And people say, no, they won't listen to it. They will die believing that that lie is true, even though I've given them proof to the contrary. I publish another article where I point out that the states are superior to the federal government. And I get plenty of comments about how that's not true. That the lie they've been told so often, they believe is true. It's become dogma. They believe it uncritically, even when I show them evidence to the contrary. People tell me that the Supreme Court effectively rules over the nation because, well, they can throw out anything Congress does because they are the sole arbiters of what the Constitution says. But that's a lie. And I've proved it multiple times. But you see, that lie was repeated so often it became this quasi-truth that has been repeated to the point that it's an article of faith, to the point where it's taught in law schools in contradiction to the actual Constitution of the United States. I have some more examples I want to get into, but before I do, I have to take another break. And I want to remind you that it'd be a great idea to make AmericaOutLoud.com a daily stop to find the latest news and goings-on. But it's more important than ever, in the face of all these lies, of all this misinformation, of all the censorship of the truth, it's more important than ever that we do our part. The way to counter a lie is by sharing facts and data, not simply opinion, facts and data. So go to AmericaOutLoud.com, find the stories, articles, the podcasts, the videos, find those facts and data and share them. Share them with a world that truly needs to know. Share them so we can secure the blessings of liberty.
AmericaOutLoud.com. If you can't find it here, you can't find it anywhere. We are the pulse and voice of everyday American thought, working hard to earn your trust for 7 incredible years and counting. America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
You already know Genesis plus HOCL is your best defense against viruses. But did you also know it's the most powerful weapon for eliminating airborne mold too? Customers are raving about the Genesis Fogger's ability to tackle mold problems and the bad smells that go with them. And we all know mold is a hazard to your health. There's no airborne invader that Genesis can't handle. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
For 40 years, alarmists have been warning of a climate catastrophe, yet none of their dire predictions have come true. Temperatures have not soared, sea level rise has not been unusual, and extreme weather events have not increased in either frequency or intensity. In short, there is no climate emergency. For 15 years, the International Climate Science Coalition has led the call for climate realism and a Made in America climate plan, a plan based on real science that responds to the real world needs of Americans, supports economic growth, and strengthens our essential infrastructure. A plan that protects the environment and ensures that Americans can enjoy the blessings of clean air, clean land, and clean water for generations to come. It's time to put ideology and pseudoscience aside. It's time for a sensible climate plan. For more information or to donate, visit our website, icsc-climate.com.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution study. And today, again, we're talking about lies, darn lies, and politics. It seems like the greatest lie factory in the world right now is politics. Now, we talked a bit about the Twitter files and the lies, and not just the lies that have become out of the Twitter files, but the lies about the Twitter files that have been used. We also talked about the Republican lies about how to fix this problem. And we looked at the legal lies, the fact that the Mr. Chansley, the infamous face-painted, buffalo-horned protester who was sentenced to almost 4 years in jail, was done on a lie. The evidence was there, but they were not allowed to have access to it. I've got some other things I want to talk about before we call it a day today. I'm going to start with, let's start with Walgreens. Now, Walgreens, you may know, is a pharmacy. It's a national pharmacy. And after the Dobbs decision, when the Supreme Court realized, you know what, the Constitution doesn't give the United States the authority to regulate abortion. I actually take it a step farther and say, and point out that the Constitution says you cannot deprive someone of life without due process of law. But no, the Walgreens, well, actually, let me put it this way. Several states passed laws regulating, if not outlawing, abortions, including the chemical abortions, right? The mifepristone, the abortion, the pill, the medical abortion, or the medicinal abortion, some call it. And that put places like Walgreens, well, put them in an interesting situation because they may sell the abortion pill, but they're not allowed to sell it in these states. So, okay, they decided we're not going to sell pills in a state where it's illegal to sell pills. It's to sell these pills. And to me, this seems a quite rational, quite rational thing. If you sell something that's not legal to sell in a certain state, you don't sell it. Now, interestingly, I remember when I used to live in New York, it was illegal. I think it still is. It's illegal to buy ammunition online and have it delivered to New York. I was unable to. I'd go to one of several places online where you could buy ammunition. They refused to sell it to me because I lived in New York. Of course, now I live in the free state of Tennessee. I don't have that problem. But you see, that's guns. We're talking abortion. And of course, in politics, the lie is that means it's all different. So Senator Warren from Massachusetts, along with several other senators, sent a letter to the CEO of Walgreens demanding a clarification and expressing their grave concerns about the company's announcement to limit the distribution of abortion pills. Now, again, Walgreens in their statement says they will continue to sell, once authorized by the FDA, to sell mifepristone in accordance with both federal and state law, meaning they will dispense it in any location where they're legally allowed to do so. Again, by brick and mortar or by mail. But that apparently is not good enough for Ms. Warren and, well, many, at least five other senators. Now, in the letter that the senator sent to the Walgreens CEO, they said, "We were extraordinarily concerned by reports last week indicating that your company appeared to be pandering to this extremism. The law is clear that medication abortion is legal in Kansas, Iowa, Montana, and Alaska, all states where it appears that Walgreens, in response to saber-rattling from anti-abortion extremists, would not be providing it." Now, here's what I find most interesting. Ms. Warren is complaining that Walgreens is pandering to extremism while asking them to pander to her own extremism. I guess extremism is in the eye of the beholder. The letter went on, "The refusal to dispense a medication that is legal and safe to patients in need would be a betrayal of your customers and your commitment to champion the health and well-being of every community in America." There's just one problem. This medication may be legal, but not in all jurisdictions. And again, Walgreens said they will sell it where they're legally able to. But it's certainly not safe to the nascent life, the unborn child still developing in the mother. The letter also demanded that the Walgreens include information about whether they were going to complete the certification process to dispense the abortion pill and how they were going to do this. Well, let's start with a little bit of constitutional facts. The Congress has absolutely no authority to tell Walgreens what drugs they can and cannot, or they will or will not distribute. None whatsoever. Congress has zero legal authority, and in fact, same with the FDA, to regulate medication. Now, they can regulate interstate commerce, but they're not. What she's talking about is not regulating interstate commerce. She's talking about coercing a private entity into making a decision about commerce within different states, possibly in violation of that state law. But I want you to notice that, my focus here is to look at it. We have Ms. Warren and five other senators, Mazie Hirono, Tina Smith, Richard Blumenthal, Bob Menendez, Cory Booker, that are signed on a letter that says, "How dare you pander their extremism and not pander to ours?" Again, expose the truth. Walgreens can make their own decision. As long as they're not violating state or federal law, constitutional state or federal law, then leave them alone. We see these senators don't want that because they have a different agenda. Now, part of the crazy world we live in involves an obsession with sex and identity. So we have an International Women's Day. Okay, not quite sure what that is, but okay, I guess the countries have agreed we're going to recognize women one day out of the year. Now, on that day in 2023, the Biden administration issued the International Women of Courage Awards. And one of the awards went to a lady by the name of Alba Ruda. Now, Ruda is Argentina's special envoy for sexual orientation and gender identity in their Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Okay. Well, there's just one interesting thing. See, Ruda is a dude. Quoting from the press release, "Now in its 17th year, the Secretary of State's International Women of Courage Award recognizes women from around the globe who have demonstrated exceptional courage, strength, and leadership in advocating for peace, justice, human rights, gender equality, and equity, gender equity and equality, and the employment of women and girls in all their diversity, often at great personal risk and sacrifice." Again, she's a dude. You're telling me that the greatest example of strength and courage and leadership by a woman was actually done by a dude. Here's the lie in all of this, besides the fact that this dude is only pretending to be a girl. You give a woman of courage award. You're supposed to be uplifting and encouraging women, and you give it to a dude pretending to be a woman. Doesn't that tell you all you need to know about not just the transgender movement, but those who pander to this nonsense? And of course, lately, it seems you can't talk about anything without talking about COVID-19. Well, apparently there's a court case being brought by a whistleblower, a Pfizer, formerly from Pfizer, claiming that Pfizer engaged in fraud when it came to the clinical trials for the COVID shots. Now, the case is in federal court in Beaumont, Texas, and it claims that the data that the FDA used to give the emergency use authorization was based on only 170 patients, 40 of which were from one site in Argentina that alleged to engage in fraud, massive fraud. Now, if this is true, it says a lot, not just about the COVID vaccine, but as we're finding more and more, vaccine testing in general. Which brings to light the lie. See, we've been told that these vaccines, that these COVID shots are vaccines. They're not. They're not legally vaccines. We've been told they're safe and effective. They are neither. Their safety is at least in question, right? We have plenty of evidence of the potential harms of this. That information is being hidden from the American people. These products were never tested for efficacy, and in fact, we have anecdotal evidence in front of your own eyes that prove it is not effective. The president, his wife, his vice president, and countless media and other personalities who were vaxxed, who were quote-unquote vaxxed and boosted, still got COVID. Oh, but they didn't get it as bad. First of all, you can't prove a counterfactual, but second of all, that's not the purpose of a vaccine. The idea of a vaccine is it prevents you from actually getting the disease, or at least defending yourself against it, which it didn't do. But here's the more important lie, the lie that the entire world was fed, that these shots have been tested and proven, and they were not. Now, there's more information going to come out of this trial. I want to keep an eye on it. But again, it opens up the lie because it shows once again that this whole fake vaccine was not based on medicine. It was not based in science. It was a political lie. We had to get something out. It was the only, we had to do this. And I wonder how many people have been sick and died because of that lie. And probably one of the greatest hoaxes played on the people of the world, still being played on the people of the world, is the current global warming climate change scare. So I remember since the 1970s, we've been told we've got 10 to 15 years to live before the climate kills us. First, it was the Great Ice Age. Then it was global warming. Then it was climate change. And of course, all the remedies involve handing over your rights and your money to government to take care of this for you and to spend it on money that on people and organizations that support these big government ideas. You know, let's put government in control of everything. And of course, one of their poster children, literally a poster child, has been Greta Thunberg. She's been around for, what, 5-10 years now, whining and crying, and, oh my God, we're all going to die, and it's all your fault, you're not doing anything, and boo-hoo, listen to me, because I'm a child, and therefore you have to listen to me. Well, back in 2018, Ms. Thunberg posted a tweet and linked to an article that would prove, it said it predicted, that we would go extinct by 2023. That's right. The climate was going to kill us by 2023. Now, it's interesting. Top climate scientists are warning that climate change will wipe out all humanity unless we stop using fossil fuel in the next 5 years. We didn't. And we're not dead. Now, why is this? Did the climate scientists lie? I don't know. But I'd be willing to guess that the climate scientists based their assessment, their assumption, on a lie. That lie being the models, the computer models that they're using to determine when life will end, when the sea will rise, when the world will become parched. And those models have been wrong. And what's interesting is there are multiple models, one of which has been relatively close, which is the one they always seem to ignore. Which brings up the question, if they're willing to lie to us through these models, all in the hopes of getting our money and getting our rights and giving our getting our lives, what else are they lying to us about? I don't know. What I do know is I don't trust a politician as far as I can throw the Capitol. I don't trust a journalist, especially a corporate media journalist, as far as I can throw their radio their stations, because they've shown me time and time again that they lie. And I will keep going back to the line from Ronald Reagan. Trust, but verify. If you find somebody that appears to have good data, listen to them, but verify what they're saying is true. Just imagine how our life in 2023 would have been different if when people said that Twitter is not shadow banning, we actually looked for evidence that it was true. That when people said, hey, my content's being suppressed and censored, we actually checked to see if it was true. That when the guy with the hat and the face paint at January 6th said, I did nothing wrong. We actually looked for the truth rather than the political agenda. What would our lives be like? When it comes to the question of abortion or global warming or the COVID shots, what would have happened if we, the people, rather than listening to everybody and assuming it was true, said, you know what? That might be a lie. Let me go and see if I can find evidence, proof of the truth. Now, Jesus was referring to himself when he says, I am the truth, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Well, as a disciple of Jesus, I absolutely wholeheartedly believe that. But I think in the world as a whole, the truth can set us free. Because it sets us free, not in the sense of free from the consequences of our sins and bad actions. But it gives us the freedom to analyze the statement, to find out if it's true, and then make a decision based on that, rather than based on the lie. Because one of the other large lies is this idea that the government can determine what is true and protect you from the lie. That the answer to what everybody else is saying that I disagree with is to hide it from you, protect you from it. That isn't protecting you. That's enslaving you. It's enslaving you to the theory and the ideas of whoever has the most influence at the moment. If you wish to be set free, if you wish to live free, you don't get set free. You decide for yourself, will you live free? If you want to live free, then don't simply listen to the lie. Learn to evaluate it. Learn to investigate it. Learn to check it and see if it is true or a lie. Then decide how you will proceed. See, that is how you get to know the truth and how the truth will set you free. And I hope you'll come here for what I hope you find to be true. That's the Constitution Study every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. If you can't listen to them, all the episodes go to podcast generally a day or two after they're heard on talk radio. Find them on your favorite podcast app. But do me a favor, subscribe to the show. Leave me a rating. Leave me a review. It helps other people find the Constitution Study as well, and maybe they'll get a little bit of truth. Now, you can find all the links at the homepage at AmericaOutLoud.com. But if you really want to spread the truth, if you want to counter the lie and spread the truth, spread that information. Take those links and share them. And by doing so, you help us all share the blessings of liberty.